If you want to open up your Bibles for our morning scripture, that's Psalms 145, verses 1 through 13. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or you can look up here on the screen. But stand when you're ready, and we will have our morning scripture reading. Psalms 145, verses 1 through 13. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. A lot of times in our Christian life, we focus on our downfalls and how we need to follow God better. We focus on how much we need God and his intervention in our life. And this morning, I just want to take some time to really reflect on how good God is. A lot of times, we don't really just sit back and think about the God that we serve. He is a wonderful, marvelous God. But before we do that, let's open with prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts, that we would acknowledge your goodness to us, and that we would worship you and praise you, and that our desire would be to serve you after we reflect on just how great you truly are. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, the first thing we want to recognize as far as goodness, if you look up in the dictionary, goodness is having the nature or quality of being good. And when you think about good, you know, we kind of toss that word around a lot. We toss the word awesome around a lot, you know, and those words start to lose their meaning. But as people, we can possess goodness at times. I can do something good, but truly I am not good. Only God is good. That is, the core of his being is goodness. We see throughout Scripture, and we look at the news or anywhere, and we can see that our nature is not goodness. Our nature is evil. Romans chapter 3, 10 through 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." And we can see in Isaiah what, you know, a lot of times they say, "Well, I do a lot of good things, you know, and as long as my good outweighs my bad, you know, I'm doing okay." Well, God said through the prophet Isaiah, we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Even the good that we do is usually has evil purposes, right? I do something nice for somebody else, and my intentions are pure. And I do something nice for them again. And then I start to think, well, what have they done nice to me back? They don't deserve me to be nice to them all the time. They're not being nice to me. Even when we do good things, it's motivated out of selfishness or evil desires. Now, when we become Christians, then the Holy Spirit can put good into us. But aside from Christ, aside from the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no good in any of us. We can possess goodness at times. We can act good at times. But truly at the core, we have rejected. We have rejected God, and truly become evil. But God, on the other hand, He is good. His very nature is good. Everything that He does is good. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, a man came up to Jesus. It says, now as He was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before Him and asked Him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. There truly is only one person that is good, and that is very nature, and that is God. Jonathan Edwards said in 1733, in a sermon that he preached, God is the highest good of the reasonable creature, and the enjoyment of Him is the only happiness which our souls can be satisfied. To go to heaven fully to enjoy God is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here. Fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, children, the company of earthly friends are but shadows. But the enjoyment of God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, God is the fountain. These are but drops, and God is the ocean. When we think about on earth, the most fulfilling relationship or experience that we could possibly have, it's nothing compared to God. It's nothing compared to what heaven is going to be like. It's nothing compared to the goodness of God. And because God is so good, all that He does is good. Everything that He's ever done is good. We look at His original creation. After He created the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky and the animals, He looked at everything that He had made. In Genesis 1:31, He looked at everything He made, and indeed, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything that He's done was good. Even after man has sinned and fallen, He takes care and provides for all of His creation. Psalms 145, 15 through 16 says, the eyes of all look expectantly to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, a lot of farmers are out in the field harvesting their crops, and they truly worked hard, sowing, planting. But we must recognize that it's God who really does all the work. None of us can make the sun come up. None of us can make the wind blow. None of us can bring the rains. Truly, all of our efforts are meaningless without God's help. And God not only feeds every person, but He feeds every beast, every bird, every living thing. On January 15th, 2009, what should have brought certain death to passengers aboard Flight 1549 and a catastrophe to Manhattan turned into what secular reporters labeled a miracle. The pilot, Chesley Sullenberger, safely landed a crippled plane in New York's Hudson River with no serious injuries. While chunks of ice and busy ferries filled most of the river, the place where the plane came down remained clear of both ice and boats. It landed without breaking apart. Ferry boat captains rescued all 155 people from the frigid river within minutes. The New York Times suggested more than luck brought the plane down mere minutes from experts trained in water rescues. Passengers who said they hadn't believed in God nevertheless prayed to Him on the plane and then publicly thanked Him for sparing their lives. Many of you probably remember seeing that on the news, the plane that took off, and I think they said some birds got in the engine or something. I don't remember what the total story was, but made a Mayday landing and right into the river, and within a few minutes, everybody was off the plane, and then it started to sink. Well, it started to sink immediately, but what an amazing thing. God is so good, all that he does. Not only are His acts good, but His word is also good. 1 Kings 8:56 said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses." In Jeremiah, the Lord says, "After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return this to this place." And Paul reflects in Romans chapter 7, "Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." God's word is good. But a lot of times, we look around and we see, wait a second, I don't see a lot of good. I see a lot of bad. In this world, there's a lot of bad. And the amazing thing that God is so good that He can actually turn evil into good. He actually uses evil for His good purposes. One example of that was Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. And after he was reunited with them after some time, he said to them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." God can even use the hurt, the pain, the evil in our lives to bring about goodness. There's a pastor, Howard Hendricks. He told of visiting a leprosy center in India. The morning he arrived, the residents were gathered for a praise service, and one of the women with leprosy hobbled to the platform. He said that even though she was partially blind and badly disfigured, she was one of the most beautiful women he'd ever seen. Raising both of her nearly fingerless hands toward heaven, she said in a clear voice, "I want to praise God that I am a leper, because it was through my leprosy that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I would rather be a leper who knows Christ than be completely whole and a stranger to His grace." The reality is God is in charge. When things like this, evil things, come into our lives, it is not an accident. It's not as if God somehow forgot what was going on and something bad slipped by. God is not only the one who is in charge. God is also good. Everything He does is good. And if God does something in your life, would you change it? If you did, you'd only make it worse. It wouldn't be as good. You know, sometimes that's kind of hard to accept. It's kind of hard to trust that. We experience pain, and sometimes we experience ongoing pain. Many of us know people who are dealing with issues in their lives. But the reality is, we serve a very good God. And even though we might think we would change certain things in our lives, the reality is it would only make it worse. Because God has the best plan for our lives. And He especially does good to those who trust in Him. Psalm 25:7 says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." For those who trust in Him, the first thing He does is He forgives all of our sins. Psalms 86 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, the forest rangers begin the work of going up to the mountain to assess the damage by the fire. One ranger found a bird that was literally petrified in the ashes. And so he used a stick and knocked the bird over. And when he knocked that bird over that had been burnt and petrified in the ashes, something startled him. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he saw three tiny little chicks scurry from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings. Instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise, she could have flown to safety, but refused to abandon her babies. When the blaze had arrived and the heat scorched her small body, the mother remained steadfast. She had been willing to die. Because she had been willing to die, those under her cover, the cover of her wings, would live. Psalms 91:4 says, "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Being loved this much should make a difference in your life. Remember the One who loves you, and then be different because of it. God loves you so much He was willing to forgive you. But He also disciplines those who He loves as well. And many of us have experienced that. Hebrews 12 says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid respect to them. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Even when God disciplines us and brings things into our lives to teach us a lesson, it is good. It is motivated out of goodness, and it is for our good. Those who trust in Him, not only does He forgive them, not only does He discipline them, but He also blesses them. Psalms 31 says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." In Psalm 34, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." There was a minister who was addressing a group of men. He took a large piece of paper, and he made a black dot in the center of it with a marking pen. And then he held up the paper before the group, and he asked them, "What do you see?" Well, immediately somebody said, "I see a black mark." "Right," he replied. "What else do you see?" Silence. "Don't you see anything other than the dot?" he asked. A chorus of no's came from the audience. "I'm really surprised," the pastor commented. "You have completely overlooked the most important thing of all, the sheet of paper." And then he made the application. He said that in life, we are often distracted by small, dot-like disappointments or painful experiences. We are prone to forget the innumerable blessings that we receive from the hand of the Lord. But like the sheet of paper, the good things are far more important than the adversities that monopolize our attention. Reminds me a bit of a verse which, though I admit is somewhat trite, does express good practical advice. Someone once wrote, "As you travel down life's pathway, may this ever be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole." Yes, rather than concentrating on the trials of life, we should fix our attention on is blessings. Let us say with the psalmist, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits." Not only does he bless us here, but there is more to come. This world is not all he has planned for us, but he has much more in store. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, Jesus Christ." Hebrews 9 says, "Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation." And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." You know, God loves us so much, and he has so many wonderful things in store for us. Oftentimes, though, we get hung up on this question of evil. We get hung up on all the bad things in life. There's a university professor that once challenged his students. You guys have seen the movie God's Not Dead. Very similar to this. A professor once asked, "Did God create everything that exists?" "Did God create everything that exists?" A student bravely replied, "Yes, he did." "God created everything?" the professor replied. "Yes," the student replied. The professor answered, "If God created everything, then God created evil. And since evil exists, and according to the principle that our works define who we are, then God is evil." The student became quiet before such an answer, and the professor was quite pleased with himself. And then he boasted to the students that he had once again proven that Christian faith was a myth. Another student raised his hands and asked the professor, "Can I ask you a question?" "Of course," replied the professor. The student stood up and asked, "Professor, does cold exist?" Well, what kind of question is this? Of course it exists. Have you never been cold? The other students laughed at the young man's question. The young man replied, "In fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold is in reality the absence of heat. Every body or object is susceptible to study when it has or transmits energy, and heat is what makes a body or matter have, or what makes them transmit energy. Absolute zero is the total absence of heat, and all matter becomes inert and inescapable of reaction at that temperature. Cold does not exist. We have created this word to describe how we feel if we have no heat." The student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" The professor responded, "Of course it does." The student replied, "Once again, you are wrong, sir. Darkness does not exist either. Darkness is in reality the absence of light. Light we can study, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and to study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and can illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain place is? You measure the amount of light present. Isn't this correct? Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light present." Finally, the young man asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" Now uncertain, the professor responded, "Of course, as I have already said, we see it every day. It is in the daily example of man's inhumanity to man. It is in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in this world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil." To this the student replied, "Evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light." The professor sat down. The young man's name was Albert Einstein. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we need to be courageous in honoring you for how good you are. Lord, so many times we just chalk things up to chance. So many times we just say, "Oh, what a coincidence." Lord, we don't give you the credit that you deserve for all the good that you do in our lives. Lord, I pray that this week we would be especially mindful of how you are working in us, and that we would be thankful for the many things that you do for us. Lord, that we would not take it for granted, Lord, but that we would worship you and praise you and share with others the wonderful God that we serve. Truly, you are the only good thing in our lives. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, for allowing us to partake in your goodness. We don't deserve any of it, but you freely give it to us. You are so good, and we are so thankful. In Jesus' name.